I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Football, energy drinks, beer, more football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
And welcome back. Welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Binkley, Kramer, the cream dog producing the operation, and former Packer, former Chief, Desmond Moses. What's going on, Des?
Thanks for having me, guys.
How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here.
Hey, you see that guy behind the glass?
Oh, yeah.
Kramer. I took his nickname away. He's the Kramer dog. But I took his nickname away. I took dog away from him. It's like in football. Uh-huh. You got to earn, you know, your decal.
Yeah, you got to earn your stripes.
Like, he's been the Kramer dog, but I took it away from him.
Because of the candy bar.
Yeah, we had this candy bar dispute. We're trying these zero bars. And I thought the thing we got here at the studio had these bars.
Okay.
Kramer didn't tell me they didn't, so I took dog away from him.
I didn't even know there was even candy bars over there, to be honest.
And then he got it back, man. He got his decal back, man.
Are these healthy candy bars?
Yeah, that's when you played sports. No. You know how it goes, man. You got to jack with the young ones sometimes.
Got to. You got to keep them on their toes. Especially the rookies, young guys.
Desmond, I've talked to you all year. We started talking as this defense started turning around. You're a defensive guy. You're a guy that get to the quarterback yourself. It's what you did. It's what your specialty. You played on this team. Heck, you played with the 49ers. You played with D Ford.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We talked about D Ford, Frank Clark, who's the best decision for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's looking more and more like Frank Clark, man. He's got that dog. How important is that, though? I mean, he's sitting there. He saw the post game. Sure. He's going, man. The all weekend was his words. Like, hey, Derrick Henry's nothing special, man. We're going to stop him. And everybody's blowing up. And I personally, I like that stuff. Because what's he supposed to say? Nah, Derrick Henry's going to come in. He's going to – We're just gonna bow down to him,
right?
Let him run all over our ass. But no, then afterwards he's going off, and that's the Frank Clark that was in St. Joe. That is the junk talker the Chiefs need.
Yeah, man, he's a dog. You know, he's one of those guys you got to have out there. And not only the dog in him, man, it's the way he plays the run. He gets after, plays away, and plays at him. You know, he's going to attack those tackles, those fan blocks, and dog guys out and make plays. That allows you to get into those second and longs, third and longs, to where you can really pin your ears back and go and make those plays. D Ford was a young guy when he was here, and I think he was still wrapping his head around, you know, buying into the run a little bit. But he was a heck of a pass rusher and a heck of a talent.
No, he was. He was a great pass rusher. But let's be honest, like, who fits in the scheme better?
Yeah, this is 4-3.
Is it Clark or I know they talked about D Ford. I think they got together with the coaches and they said, man, this Frank Clark guy might be our guy, man. This guy's got a little attitude.
Well, you got one less guy down, technically, when you're playing a run in a 4-3. So you got to have a guy that can two-gap. You got to got a guy who can stand people up and play the inside and the outside. So I think Frank Clark was the perfect fit for this defense. High-energy guy. He can make those plays away and the plays at him. And then we know what he can do on third down.
But, man, you know, this when you're trying to build this defense, you bring in Spags. He gets a whole new staff. I mean, they've gutted everything. And, you know, you bring Dave Merritt in the secondary, Sam Madison, which – you know, has some dog in him. And then you bring in eight new faces. But to me, you needed the honey badger. You needed that guy, the people to respect. You know, it's been there, done that. And then Frank Clark, he had never made the Pro Bowl before.
Sure.
He makes it this year, but he don't have to go play. You know,
right.
You're the Pro Bowl practice. It's fun seeing the Chiefs. You don't have to play. But Frank Clark comes in and he's named a starter. You know, they do it in thirds. Third fan vote, third coaches and players. He probably didn't have the fan vote because he's not a household name.
Sure.
But I guarantee he had the coaches and players. They respect him. But he came in here. He played with that pinched nerve and stuff. That's got to be – you and I talked about that before. Yeah. Back when we were debating whether he's going to play or not.
Right. Yeah, he's a tough-nosed guy.
When you came and joined me at Harris, he had even talked about the Chiefs maybe even thinking – or his doctors even thought about shutting him down. He didn't want that.
Yeah. He's a tough-nosed guy. He understands the game. He understands how important it is to be available late in the season. When you get $100 million, that's what they put you there for. You know, they need you week in and week out to make those plays. Even when he doesn't have big statistical games, he's still making an effect. So he got to be out there
But you know what? You get that money sometimes, and you say, you know what? Maybe I will take some time off. But you know what? He's not like that.
Right.
That's it. It's got to mean a lot to that locker room, man. Just like Mahomes with the offense, the fact he's tough.
Yeah.
And he wants always to play. I mean, they have to make him not play.
Well, it goes a long way, man. He's a leader. Tyrann Mathieu's one of those leaders, how we talked about. Those guys, you know, when you know they're going to be there practicing throughout the week, they'll be there on Sundays, then you can hang your hat on it. You know, and for a defensive coordinator, for a team, for young guys, you know, you have to depend on your veterans. And sometimes that means playing through a few injuries. So, you know, kudos to Frank Clark, man. He's doing what veterans are supposed to do and top-tier guys.
We talked about the Honey Badger quite a bit when you joined me at Harrah's at Winning Streaks. And we talked about that play that he made where he's on one receiver and he's kind of watching the quarterback's eyes and then he breaks and makes that pick. We were talking about the pick. It was a great pick. But, man, you know, since then, he's hitting people too, man. He's thumping people. You know, that hit that he had on Corey Davis, and then you got Sorensen with that hit on Tannehill, plus that hit on Derrick Henry. Chiefs, man, they're hitting you now. They used to not hit people when you were with them, Desmond.
Yeah.
But they're hitting now.
Well, they're hitting, man. We were hitting too now. We had the Eric Berrys and those guys, but.
Oh, no. You guys hit.
Yeah.
but they haven't hit since you were there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what, though? These guys are a special bunch, man. And not only the physicality part with Tyrann Mathieu's, but his energy level, he looks like he's playing a click faster than everybody else. You know, he's playing 2-3 guys within a play, you know, covering option 2-3.
So, like, almost like LSU Honey Badger.
Yeah, same old guy, man. And I think, you know, he's a guy that's full of pride. I know those LSU guys. He knows they're watching him, the young guys. He still wants to be an example. I think he just lives to be an example to those young guys. And he's a heck of a pickup for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know what? You need somebody like that. When you're switching to, you need a coach on the field, man. They got that in Frank Clark and him.
Yeah, absolutely. He knows where everybody's supposed to be. He knows where he's supposed to be, and he's never there pre-snap. So for veteran guys, they understand the value in that. You know, a quarterback never knows the true look because he's never in the right spot, but he always gets there.
Is he the Mahomes on defense, kind of like Eric Berry was for you guys?
For sure. He's the heart and soul, man. When he ticks, you know, it's you can feel it. You know, I remember I was there when the Kansas City Chiefs, when we lost Eric Berry for a time, you know, and even we had to come into the huddle and a role that he usually had, speaking in a huddle, you know, kind of a roll call. It was odd to not have him there. So when you have a guy like that, that's a heart and a soul, and those young guys feed off him, you know, he's a can't miss. He's going to lead the way this Sunday.
And of course, DJ too. I mean, DJ's
absolutely.
I mean, you lose leaders, and you got to replace them.
Absolutely, and it's hard to do. You know, it costs money to go get those guys. Someone who can change the defense, change the course of the game. We see the Honey Badger do it now each week. Man, he's special. He pops on film every time you watch him.
But it's almost like rejuvenated. Like, they talked about Andy Reid being rejuvenated. I asked a former friend of his, Steve Mariucci, on NFL Network. He joined me one night, and he was an assistant with Andy in Green Bay.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever crossed paths with Mooch, you know, coming back to visit you guys when you were a Packer. But, you know, they were both assistants in Green Bay way back when, way before you, Desmond. You were probably playing middle school ball. But anyway, he talked about Andy Reid. I said, man, is he rejuvenated? Because he seemed different to me.
Yeah.
Like, he had the more pep in his thing. Maybe it's Mahomes doing it for him. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Jaworski talked about that.
I was talking to my lady this week, and I was watching him. I always look at Andy's body language, and it's a lot in his face, man. He seems very alert, man. He definitely seems like he has a spark, man. He's ready to go. And, you know, I grew up an Eagles fan, man. I had to live with the defeat in the Super Bowl back when.
He's your Jersey guy.
I'm a Jersey guy. Jersey boy, man. Born and bred, but I had to live with that, man. I was an Eagles fan throughout, you know. So I'm rooting for Andy, man. This is his chance to really go and win the ultimate goal, and he's a heck of a coach. We all know that.
You know, it seems like a lot of people don't have a dog in the fight in the Super Bowl. Clearly, we do here in Kansas City. But, you know, as Chiefs fans, we always had to pick a team in the Super Bowl. Who do you kind of want to win? And it was always that coach or player. Like, if there's a player like a Drew Brees or something, I want to see this guy win a ring or – it depends. Any player, you want to see him. You want to see certain players win. Andy Reid's kind of got that mojo too right now, Desmond. He seems to be. A lot of the coaches are pulling for him. 6 all-time in wins. I do believe this puts him in the Hall of Fame because he took 2 teams to the Super Bowl. What is it about Andy? Just because he's just nice to everybody, or never has a bad word to say about anybody? What's the draw that everybody's rooting for Andy Reid?
Well, he's had a ton of coaches in his coaching tree, and those guys have gone on to have great careers. So people just have a lot of respect for Andy Reid, consummate professional. It's hard to dislike the guy, but if you know how much success he's had in this league over the years, the only thing he hasn't conquered is a Super Bowl as a head coach. So this is just, you know, if you're a fan of Andy Reid, you want him to win one. You want him to get one. He's almost due. So I'm rooting for the guy, man. I really think we have a great chance with the best quarterback in the league.
Well, Desmond, if you go to your Pro Football Reference page, they got you without the dreads.
Oh, man.
If we went to the USA Today Images, they got you with the dreads.
Yeah.
What happened to them, man?
I cut them, man. I wanted to just lighten it up. I was actually starting to lose some, man. Those deals get pulled out pretty often.
I get like Derrick Henry. Yeah. That, to me, looks like something somebody would grab.
And I'd like to thank Eric Fisher for some of those personally, man. We had a lot of battles in practice.
Oh, did Fisher grab your hair?
Oh, yeah. We used to go at it every day. He would get a few out, man, and you start to see 4, 5, 6 on the ground.
And he would hold it?
Oh, it's part of the jersey. It's considered part of your uniform. So, you know, it wasn't anything dirty, but sometimes, you know, you're in those hand fights. Yeah. It just happens. But you hate to see 4 or 5 year dreadlocks on the ground.
You shaved them. You played in the playoffs too, Desmond.
Yes, sir.
And you're no stranger to that. And I do think that's interesting. What would you notice the biggest difference? Because is the speed actually different, or we make too much of that?
No, it's different, man. It's a different intensity. Guys know that if they lose, they're going home. You know, so you have a different intensity. And I started the game in my rookie year in Green Bay. We had San Fran when Kaepernick came onto the scene. And
San Fran, Minnesota that year.
Oh, yeah. You know, and they had 2 weeks to prepare. So we were kind of like a deer in headlights. They put in a totally new offense, and it was the loudest atmosphere I'd ever been in. You know, and I played in Seattle, man. They got a great, great atmosphere, and it's super loud. But that their game in San Fran, they had 2 chains playing in between each timeout. It was louder during the timeouts than it was during the game. We couldn't make very many checks, and it looked like it.
Then you played Minnesota that year, and, of course, you played for the Chiefs in that game in New England.
Yes, sir.
Where they lost 27-20. You get a nice $30,000 fine because you hit Mr. Tom Brady, and they lowered the fine for you. So yes, I'm glad they lowered that for you. It was still quite hefty.
Yes, it was.
You're a very charitable person, Desmond.
Yeah, I did have my own foundation, but that didn't go to it.
Speaking of these fines, man, Eric Fisher, you bring up Eric Fisher. He got fined, what, 17 grand for pouring the beers on his helmet. He didn't even drink them. There's nothing in the bylaws that says you can't drink alcohol because they just haven't thought about it. But what was illegal about it? Because he used props?
I think that they're trying to, you know, keep the kids away from getting into this atmosphere, you know, because kids, obviously, they're impressionable. But Eric's one of those guys. He loves to have fun, like Trav, man. These guys love to have fun. It's genuine, you know. They're living out their wrestling dreams.
They're still protecting Mahomes.
Yeah.
Chiefs are one of the 4 fewest sacks in the NFL this year. I mean, you watch this line, they were giving Mahomes all sorts of time.
Yeah, they love him. You know, it's different when you're playing for a guy that you truly love. Not that he didn't love Alex and those guys, but he's young. You know, his energy is infectious. So you can tell that his guys are playing and blocking for him with a passion. Plus, they know that they got the best guy in the league back there. So if you're the guy that lets the guy go that hurts him, all eyes will be on you. You got to do your job, and you have to do it at a high level.
Talking to the former Hawkeye, former Tulane football star Desmond Moses, played with the Packers and played for the Chiefs. We come back. I want to talk about this defensive turnaround. Why? When? Why did it happen? We'll discuss that next.
Bink at Night.
Welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Binkley, Kramer, the Crame Dog, producing. Desmond Moses, former linebacker,
yes,
turned
sir.
Good guy, in studio with us. You miss football, Desmond?
Oh, every day, man. It's like, that was, you know, born and raised doing this stuff, man. You watch it. You always want to be a part of the game. I love coming here to talk to you about the game.
Well, you hit Tom Brady in the postseason. You were the only guy to do it that year.
Yeah, thank you for that.
You were the only guy to hit Tom Brady, and you paid for it, literally.
Exactly, yeah. You guys could have done it, I wish, you know. Or at least give me some of the money back.
Did you enjoy this postseason?
I did, man. It was exciting. We had some young, great quarterbacks really burst onto the scene. And we got Pat Mahomes, man, who I think is really coming into his own as the best quarterback in the NFL. I think he's showing.
Get the future, man. Lamar Jackson's the truth. Deshaun Watson. I think Deshaun Watson's going to be great.
Yeah.
I think they may have to give a different coach, though, because I don't think he put Deshaun. I know, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't think he put Deshaun in some of the best positions to win. You know, that fake punt certain times. I mean, again, if they had Mahomes and Deshaun was here, I think Deshaun would be fine.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And I think Pat would win in Houston, but I think Bill O'Brien might hurt him.
Yeah, because even one play, there was a play where it was later in the game and they were about to punt, you know, and Deshaun came off and kind of said, Coach,
took momentum.
You know, what are we doing? And he calls a timeout and goes back out. But you just have to be aware of those type of things. And I think you're right, man. A better coaching situation there may really –
it's all that quarterback-coach combination, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have that. And it's going to be Andy Reid and Pat, the big bad witch, man, the Patriots. This team's lost 3 of the last 4 games at home.
Yeah.
The team they beat was the Bills down the stretch. And Chiefs fans were hoping they would beat them. And then you come, Ryan Fitzpatrick goes in New England with that beard. and beats him. Yeah. Like the Chiefs get home field advantage because of him, and then Tannehill beating the Ravens.
Right.
Unbelievable. Are the Patriots done?
Well, you know what? We have to really, you know, we got to be realistic when we look at the Patriots roster, man. I couldn't name two of their receivers this year. And, you know, as good as Tom Brady is, outside of Edelman, right. That's one. I can't name two. But outside of Edelman, they lost a lot of weapons. And, you know, as good as Tom Brady is, Bill Belichick, those guys, they still need those weapons.
Your guy, Edelman.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost Gronkowski. They lost some good receivers. They just got to plug in some more pieces if they expect to keep Brady.
Did you see that Edelman, like it was during the playoffs, he was in L.A. I saw something come across. He was like dancing on the hood of a Mercedes like 2 in the morning and got arrested. I was like, this is what happens to these cats when they're in the playoffs.
Man. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they like that fun now. They're used to winning it and being, world champions.
Get away from Bill, man.
Exactly. But, you know, they're men just like everybody else. They're not perfect, but they like to have fun. And they're good football players, man. Very good.
I just see the Chiefs just holding this thing, man. I mean, just this. I mean, they had to sneak their way in to getting, you know. And so the 49ers.
Sure.
The 49ers needed to beat Seattle, which is a really contested game there.
Yeah.
And I think the Saints got screwed because they had to play the first weekend of the playoffs.
Right.
And had they reviewed that, which should have been pass interference, Russell Wilson pass into the end zone, should have been pass interference, wasn't called. So the Saints get screwed 2 years in a row on the same damn rule.
Yeah.
They would have gotten a bye. Instead, they had to play the first weekend, and they lost.
Yeah, it makes a big difference having that bye. For a young team like the Ravens, you see that it hurt them. You know, it took them out of their rhythm having a week off. When you got young guys like that, you'd rather play every week. For some veteran guys, an older team or a banged-up team, you want that bye week so you can kind of collect yourself, put a plan together, and, you know, go attack.
What do you think about Terrell Suggs? Because he damn near got an interception. He's a beast, man. And, again, he played over 50% of the snaps. Yeah. I mean, you hear his influence. He takes a notebook into a meeting. And I understand why. He's new. There's going to be the things he wants to write down. But then everybody starts doing it.
Right.
And then he's watching film and notices some things, tells Frank Clark. Like, that's exactly what the Chiefs needed and wanted was a guy like Terrell Suggs.
Yeah.
Because it made so much sense. They're hardly paying him. And they're paying him a lot more money than I make. But in the grand scheme of the NFL, they're hardly paying him.
Right.
And he's coming in here and being like that coach on the field. He's going to be a coach, I believe, in the NFL. Who knows? Maybe he does. Maybe he does broadcasting. I don't know. But they essentially got a coach that can still play.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's a Joey Porter type guy in my mind who could play and coach. He'll probably go right into a position coach. But he's a dog, and he's a savvy veteran. Kevin Green used to always have a phrase, crusty old vet, but that's
crusty
what he
vet.
Is. He's seen everything twice, you know. So those screenplays, one play that stands out in my mind last week, he knew he couldn't get there. You know, he gets his hands up and almost gets a pick. That's a play that's a feel it.
Yeah,
you know,
that was
an experience play. And he has all those because he's seen everything 2-3 times, and he's made all those plays before.
I think that's the thing about him. He's just so smart. And when he's out there, you just never know what he's going to do. Like, he gives the offense fits because he knows what you're doing.
He's unorthodox.
Before you do it, like, he watches film and he can figure out what you're doing. He's like the honey badger a little bit.
Yeah, he's always in the right position. But if you watch him, he's always moving. You know, so for an offensive lineman, man, those guys are set. It really fools with him when a guy changes his alignment, widens, tightens down, you know, hops down the line of scrimmage, all these different things that he does kind of instinctively now. He's just a special player. But he's going to be the type of player in the Super Bowl that'll make one of those big plays just from being wise.
Ready to call yet? You know, you and I like to call who's going to be that guy. McCole Hardman, who was your guy last time? I forgot. You were right, though.
I had Kelsey.
Kelsey
went crazy. He had three tugs.
And I had Hardman. Hardman, you know.
He had a good game.
Mahomes' passer rating is 151 to Hardman.
Wow.
Like, they're dynamic. He needs the damn ball, man. They've got it like that. To me, I still think Hardman's the X factor, man.
When you have so many weapons, how can you shoot them all at once? It's just one of those deals. Like, man, you can only spread. It's only one ball.
Who are you going with, Damian? Man, no one's picking Pat.
Nobody's picking Pat. That's a given, though. When you're the best in the game,
we take him out of the equation.
Yeah, he's a no-brainer.
You gonna go T Sizzle?
I'm going to Honey Badger, man.
You go Honey Badger.
He's pumped right now. He's playing outside of his mind. He's locked in. It seems like
he wants that ring.
Yeah, he's got 2 weeks to study. He's going to be a guy that comes out and really tries to just flood up the game early on. He'll be making plays all over the field. The Honey Badger, I expect a pick, a turnover, and possibly a score, man. I wouldn't put that out of question.
If you got a question for Desmond Moses, 69306, the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line 69306, or the phone number 913-576-7610. Just two requests. Don't be dumb and be nice. Sometimes night shows, they drink a little beer sometimes. Some of my callers.
Yeah, there's a different crowd between the middays.
Different crowd. I love them all, but you know, sometimes they're a little rough.
Got to send them away.
Desmond, I got to ask you before we move on to Chiefs defense. Luke Kuechly, you know, retiring at a young age. And I know everybody's kind of making it like, well, you know, these guys get the money. And then sure. they man, it was driving me nuts when I heard that because you got to look at the big picture. First of all, Kuechly, yeah, he cares about money because he's a pro, but he loves the game, man.
Sure.
But, you know, I've seen him carted off where he's like drooling on himself.
Yeah.
Like, concussions really took a toll on him. I think that's he's a different story than a guy just making cash. Sure. Even. He likes football too much. The guy wants to coach this year.
He loves the game. You know, Luke didn't leave the game because of money, because he had enough of it. You know, it's going to hurt him to not be able to go out there on Sundays. But he's given a lot to the game. And because he's played it the right way, he's never shied away from hits, physicality. I'm sure in practice he has the same level, the same intensity. So when you play like that, you know, although it seems like a short NFL career, it takes guys 10, 15 years to get there. So he's been doing it and playing at this level for a long time. I'm sure his family, his wife, his loved ones, all these people have talked to him and say, hey, man, you've done all you can do. You're the best in the world.
You think that was fair? Like, Borland steps away after 1 year. And I get the criticism there, but he didn't have the money yet.
Right.
But he stepped away to have his health or whatever, which is funny because all these, like, ex-players, I asked them, would you do it again? And pretty much they would do it again.
Yeah.
I mean, Danan Hughes, the guy that you came in here, players only. Yeah. I talked to Danan about this one time. He said he'd rather be hit in the head than the knees. Because he needs those to make money.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's fine line, man. It's really tough, man. And we talked about this on our podcast, Moses Square. You know, me and my sister, we're talking about the mental health aspect. You know, you see it in guys, you know, struggling, man, even the ABs, man. And it's just clear that there's personality changes over time. So, you know, for the people that are close to these players, it's important to really step back. And even as much as we love the game as fans, you know, these are human beings at the end of the day, and they have a life after. So, kudos to Luke, man. If he's made a decision with his family, a responsible one, so he can be a good father and grandfather one day, I respect it.
I mean, just some of the visual images of him getting carted off the field. I mean, he's just been different. He's been different than everybody. Derek Johnson claims never have one. And then you got Luke Kuechly that does. I mean, it's weird because even Tardif, he's a medical doctor.
Yeah.
And he was talking about football being safer now than it ever has been.
Yeah. Well, you know, Derek was a little bit different, man. He was like a low arrow. So he would actually tackle, man. He would aim for your knees and kind of shoulder it. But he wasn't really a stick his head in there type of guy. So I wouldn't put it past him. Plus, he used to wear a huge neck collar back in Texas, man. He was old school neck brace, man.
All right, we actually got text in, Desmond. 69306, the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. 913, and this is part of the, you know, this defense resurgence.
Okay.
Dirty Dan Sorensen.
Yes, sir.
Gets bigger as the stage gets bigger. You know Dirty Dan.
Dirty
Dan.
You
played with Dirty Dan. Does he like the name Dirty Dan, first of all?
Yes, he does, man.
He likes Dirty Dan.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the nicest, purest guys you'll ever meet. But if you take him to that place, man, that's when he turns to Dirty Dan.
Edge.
Yeah, he has the edge. You know, you see it throughout a game, even if a guy says something to him.
So he's nice, Dan. Then the flip switch, Dirty Dan.
Flip switch, Dirty Dan. So it's two different guys. We got a name for each of them. But Dan's, he's a consummate professional. Even on a punt play, that's a perfect example of the type of player he is. Even when everybody's relaxing, he's still going to do his job. He's going to do it at a high level, high energy. And that tackle on that punt one-on-one with a guy two-way go.
He kind of knew it was coming, too.
Yeah.
Because he shattered him. He saw him walking in different directions.
That's just his job, man. He just does his job, you know. And it's easy to be out there and say, okay, my guy's there. I got him. You know, I could get him. But to be in a position every single time, that takes a real, true professional, man. And that's why he's made a great career that he has.
And Tannehill was basically done when he hit him.
Right.
He hit him hard.
Oh, yeah.
Tannehill went straight down. He hit him hard. 785. Stephen A. is a clown. Do you think Mahomes hears that blank? How much do you players really listen to the haters, Desmond? So it's not just about Stephen. Just any Skip Bayless, any of these guys that are hating on you.
Yeah.
They'll hate on the best ones, too. They'll hate on Mahomes, believe it or not.
Those guys read that stuff, and they use it as fuel for their fire.
All right. They sit around on their phones and look at it.
Yeah, a little. You hear it a little. And it really is your family and friends who come to you. Man, you heard what Stephen A., you know. But
so even in the locker room, people say, hey, man, did you hear what Skip said about you?
Sometimes it happens, man. Sometimes it happens. But sometimes, you know, it's your family members, people that aren't in the locker room. All they can do is watch TV and watch what the talking heads say, per se. But, man, these guys, they're all professionals. I don't know exactly what was said about Pat Mahomes, but if it was
He said he'd take Watson over him. Watson's got more inherent ability at the end of the games. He's got, you know, come on, man. Mahomes is tough.
Yeah, I think that's far-fetched. I mean, the numbers don't lie. And I think, you know, if – if it really came down to it, you know, we all would take Pat Mahomes. He can do special things.
I think if he was, if your money was where you, your heart was, you'd take him.
Right.
For the 816, bank four blue moons in my man. Good for you. Desmond, you're so soft-spoken and chill.
Yeah.
What fires you up these days? Not as in game day hype, but what makes you scream out loud in excitement?
Man, closing deals, man. I do real estate now, so we close deals. Oh, yeah, we still scream, man. We still fist pump. We do all
that. You going to find me a house?
I got you, man.
All right. You know, one more year. Just, 1.5 years.
Let's do it, man. But that still gets me pumped. I still get a fist pump. My lady, my sister, they see it. They're like, oh, yeah, I like to go.
Everybody's got to have something, I guess.
Got to, man.
Like, a lot of guys go into just other sports or, you know, golfing, fishing, whatever.
I golf a ton.
Do you?
I golf. I play basketball. You catch me at Lifetime and all. Overland Park, man, I get those guys hell.
You ever played Damon?
I never have.
He talks trash.
Can he play?
He says he can. Well, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he says he can.
Yeah, that's easy.
Can he hoop? I know he plays baseball. He says he can play baseball.
He's a little older now, so I'd take it easy on him. I'm only 30. I could still go.
Man, don't let him hear that. He'll challenge you.
If you're listening, Damon, this is a challenge.
Anyway, when we come back, I mentioned we're going to talk about the defense and the turnaround, but your texts were good, so keep the text flowing in for Desmond. We discuss the turnaround next.
Big at Night.
Welcome back to Big at Night. Jay Binkley, Desmond Moses, former Packer, former Kansas City Chiefs. From the 660, is Shady McCoy going to get some playing time in the Super Bowl? I would say probably not. I think that Damian Williams is that trusted guy, and so is Darwin Thompson.
Not much.
You can glean a lot from who plays in the AFC title game, who's going to get reps in the Super Bowl. Things could change.
Yeah.
Andy could have some up his sleeve. Oh, he practice dictates things and change things.
Well, he's a great backup plan, you know, I think, to have a veteran in that position.
But he likes Damian.
Yeah. But they understand, too. Yeah. You know, Shady understands his position. He's an older guy, man. He wants to ring, man. He wants to put
He's still getting that paycheck?
Absolutely. Put an exclamation on his career because he's had a heck of a career, but he doesn't have a ring yet, so he wants one back.
It's unbelievable what he's been able to do. Desmond, the owner, Clark Hunt, had said that he had thought that San Diego, or not San Diego, Los Angeles game, was kind of a turnaround. That's the Mexico City game.
Okay.
And I'm with him on that because the first half, they were moving the ball, man. They were scoring because they'd get the red zone and Phillip, man. Phillip's done in L.A., but he's already moved his family to Florida. And I like Phillip, but, man, he was just throwing the ball up for grabs, man. I mean, it was one of those deals where, he had four interceptions. It should have been five. But I look at that second half. And this team has not looked back since then defensively. I don't know if the players all talk about communication.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget during OTAs and minicamp, you know, Mahomes had said, hey, man, this defense is giving me looks I haven't seen before.
Right.
We should have known right then. And I've been high on this defense, and I've stayed high on this defense. I ate a little crow for it because it was so bad early on. I would go on Denver and talk about how good this defense, because I saw it in training camp.
Right.
I was like, man, this defense is good, man. But it just didn't hit until that Chargers game. Why do you think that is, man?
Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to mesh, you know, for young guys or even just new guys. You know, Frank Clark's new. The back end's new. You know, Hitch, he's fairly new. All these guys are very, very new. They're starting to, you know, learn each other, communicate with each other. And then you learn each other's habits. You know, you start to see how guys disguise a certain way, how guys like to run certain stunts, man. And, you know, for a team, it takes some time to really gel. And for a defense, man, when you're running stunts and you got a lot of moving parts, you got guys, you know, substituting in and out, it takes some time. But you're right. I think that was the week that it all came together, and they haven't looked back since then.
No, they haven't looked back. Hitchens made a comment during OTAs. And it made a lot of sense to me because I read this book. I like reading some football books from time to time. And I remember Pete Carroll writing a book one time about knowing your responsibilities. Right. That once you kind of know what your response, you don't have to worry about everybody else.
Right.
Like when you can stop worrying about whatever, like the honey badger.
Sure.
Like when you can stop worrying about guys being in the right spot, you can worry about just being the honey badger.
Right. Right.
How true was that? Because he talked about the simplification of this defense.
Very much so.
You played for Sutton. Was it complicated?
It was complicated. You know, and I'm just being totally honest, man. It was complicated, and I was with Dom Capers previously, and it was the same 3-4 defense, and it was very, very different. You know, Dom had a checkboard of calls that we could make. Everybody knew them, so it was pretty much blackboard, man. You could work within your guys, man. I could make a check to Charles Woodson, and he knew what I'm calling. You know, I could check to Tremont Williams. He knew what I was calling. Mm. So it's difficult sometimes, you know, when you have moving parts and young guys, you know, with Sutton's complicated defense, you sometimes have guys out of place or – you have enough guys and they're covering the wrong guys. So I think right now, just dumbing it down, we have better players, man. We got the Honey Badger. You know, we got Frank Clark. We got Hitchens in there. He's a crusty old vet. We have guys that are making plays, man, and it's starting to show up now that everything's a little bit easier to.
Because they say this in other sports too, like basketball. Like guys are just too worried about being in the right alignment. They're just not playing ball.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and things change when you're not out there just doing the things that.
He who hesitates is lost, and that comes down to
that's the good point. You hesitate, and you could be lost with the speed.
Split second, man, you're beat. You know, that's how quick the game is. You have to know what you're doing, and you have to know what your guys are doing. Right now, they're having that gel and the success, and it's showing.
Chris Jones, well, he got to play a little bit. Here's next-gen stats. First half, he played 14% of the time, 5 out of 35 snaps. Second half, he played 82% of the time.
Okay.
So they sandbagged a little bit, 18 to 22. When he was on, 7 pressures, 3 sacks. When 39% quarterback rate of getting to the quarterback. When he was off, 1 pressure, 0 sacks, 6% QBP. Now, they weren't necessarily him, but does he command that much attention? Because when he was in, stark difference between 7 pressures to 1, 3 sacks to none when he was in the game.
Well, just pass rushing in itself, you have to push the pocket. You know, so when you have those speed guys on the edge, the deeper that you can push the quarterback, the easier it is for them to turn. They can turn the corner at 12, 11 yards instead of having to turn it at 9. You got to be a special athlete, a Von Miller, to turn it at 10, you know, 9. So with him in the game, man, he can push the pocket with the best of them. He can split double teams. He can beat triple teams. You got to chip them. You have to block differently, so it just changes. It gives one-on-ones to the edges. Frank Clark's getting one-on-ones.
Yeah.
They're sliding to Suggs. You know, that's not – that doesn't generally happen to a $100 million guy. He gets to slide away from
him. And Suggs will take it.
That's what he's there for. But you got a guy who's experienced, and he's still a game changer. You still have to. You got to respect him.
We could be franchise tagged this year and probably will be. And there, people are talking like sign and trade.
Sure.
And I'm with that, I guess, to some extent. I mean, if you get the ring, it changes everything.
Right.
Because you're not so worried about every little part because you got the ring.
Yeah, you know, honeymoon.
If they go down and lose to San Francisco, I think it becomes more imperative not to trade him. You need Chris Jones.
Yeah.
I think it hinges whether he's back here or not. And maybe that's wrong to think that way.
Yeah.
But why would you let a guy like that go if you're that close to a ring?
Yeah, he's a special guy. He's top 3 at the position. And at a very, very important position. It's, for me, my gut tells me you got to keep him. You know, you see the impact that he has on a game. Plus, he's a 6'6", 6'7", guy, 320, 30, whatever he is, fluid, great hips.
He plays fluid, man. You're right.
Slippery, man. He's all those things you want in a guy in the middle of the defense. Even Donald. I mean, Aaron Donald's a little bit shorter. You know, he doesn't have as many tips as – he's just an ideal nose tackle. He disrupts games, man. You have to game plan for him, and you got to pay him now.
I mean, 50 and a half sacks from where he's at, man. Not even the edge. That's tough to do.
Yeah.
How do you? His run defense appears to be getting better too. What do you think about his run defense overall?
Well, he's playing his gap, and when he's out of position, he's still making a play, and that's one thing, man. Kevin Green.
Single gap helped him out. You think said?
Oh yeah. Well, now he can fire off, and even when getting 2-3 yards deep, he's going to make a play. Kevin Green used to tell me, he's like, "Well, this is where you're supposed to be, but if you end up here, you better make the play." And he's doing that. When he is in the wrong spot, he's still making a play. So they're hugging his neck.
You got to make the play.
You got to make the play, period.
I've always been an advocate. We've got a guy here, Carrington, in the afternoon, and he's talked about, the NFL, you shouldn't have to, you'd be able to take one salary from the salary cap. But I'm for two. I think you should be able to take one offensive and one defensive player, pay him whatever you want, and it doesn't count against your cap.
Huh.
Maybe, I mean –
that would be an interesting.
Good idea, bad idea, because that way, when you're paying Mahomes $40 million a year, you don't even count that.
Yeah, I think that would help the cap. You know,
Jones, you don't pay. You know,
I think it would help other guys earn a little bit more.
Yeah,
you know, when you do have a quarterback,
pay more,
pay him astronomical amount, then it just does take away from the guys at the bottom. You know, they have to start crunching those numbers somewhere. So if you could take a guy off the cap, I think that would help the team overall. Man, you would see quarterbacks, you know, get what they deserve, but you also see other guys at the bottom of the totem pole getting a little bit more what they deserve as well.
And they'll say market size and all that, but, you know, Kansas City, sure. Pay them. Kansas City's one of the smallest markets in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, but they got a great fan base. But, I mean, besides that, you know, you still want those guys to earn what they're supposed to, because he's a special talent, man, generational talent, and he's going to break the bank.
I would just be a fan of that. Desmond Moses, former Kansas City Chief and former Green Bay Packer, in studio for us. You have a question for Desmond. Smitty's Garage, Burgers and Beer text line, 69306. Going to talk about this matchup, Chiefs and Niners. Plus, the NFL draft's doing something interesting that I want to get Desmond's opinion on.
Oh, wow.
We'll do that next.
Big at Night.
Welcome back to Big Night, Jake Binkley and Desmond Moses, former linebacker.
Yes, sir.
Packers and Chiefs. Let's go to Phil in Kansas City. What's up, Phil?
How are you? Hey, I've been following this issue as far as the salary cap and excluding the quarterback. I really think that's a bad idea, and I'll tell you why. What's to prevent a major market like the Giants saying, okay, Patrick Mahomes, forget that $200 million offer from the Chiefs. We can afford to pay you $400 million. So all of a sudden, you've lost
that's a good point.
Talent.
That's a good point. Right? That's a good point.
Yeah. And then, you know, the ticket price. The one thing the NFL, I think, has gotten right compared to, like, Major League Baseball is, I mean, think about the AFC Championship game. You had Nashville and Kansas City, two small market teams compared to the big guys. And it's the salary cap as is that makes it all work.
Yeah.
You know what? The salary cap's interesting because it don't matter where you're playing. Green Bay's the smallest market in the NFL.
Yeah.
You played up there, Desmond. It's kind of like playing in a neighborhood, isn't it?
Right. I mean, literally, it's in the middle of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Across the street is the neighborhood.
There's a Dorsey always said about it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's
smallest market in the NFL by far. But everybody's got the same money.
Yeah, it makes it a fair playing field.
Yeah.
Baseball has struggled, you know, the smaller market teams. We've seen them, you know, not be able to compete with the LAs and the New Yorks. So it could, you know, I definitely see his point, man. You could get into that realm where a team like on the coast,
or
Giants,
I'd say the Cowboys
would
reach in there and say, hey, we'll pay you, Pat.
Well, I'm sure he would go on down there and take a $500 million if they gave it to him.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, I think the smaller market, too, they'd pony up and pay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to. And these owners are billionaires. These guys got some pocket change.
I think Clark Hunt would pony up and
come out of pocket.
Again, Desmond, you live here in Kansas City still. You can live wherever you want. You can get four-bedroom or four-garage house on a golf course for $600,000, $700,000. It's like less than 1 year rent in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, the cost of living here is much different. I mean, be honest, you know these guys.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a big difference. And you're right. You know, not having a difference in pay sometimes can hurt, you know, when you're in those markets or you're down in Texas where they don't have any income tax.
That's big, too.
People take that into account. You know, I think Sue was one of those guys when he was being traded or shopping his teams. He was like, where can I make the most money in actual money at the end of the day? And, you know, it happens, but I think this will still be able, you know, it's one of those things that NFLPA, the NFL come together and talk about, see if they can do just so they can still pay those guys at the bottom a little bit more. But who knows, man?
It's funny how you guys that still live in Kansas City, even though you don't have to. Like Bill Moss from Pennsylvania, he lives here. Dayton Hughes, New Jersey guy, he lives here.
Yeah.
You still live here. Mike Garrett moved back here, and this guy won the Heisman Trophy in 1965.
Joe Mays.
He's the reason. What's that?
Joe Mays.
Joe Mays.
Yeah.
All these guys not from here, but they live here. And I'm like, yeah, because you can get a lot bigger house here. Man, my ex-wife had this friend in Boston, and we went to her apartment one time, and it was downtown, man. It was – she paid more for rent than I paid for mortgage.
Wow.
And I had two-car garage, Desmond. And you know, they had a kitchen that you and I don't think could stand in together.
Right.
And they had two bedrooms. They didn't have a place to park. And she's paying more than I am. Like, man, Kansas City.
It's different.
If you get the cash,
it's different.
All things being even, I'd go play in Kansas City.
Yeah. I mean, it's cheap, man. You'd be living like a king. You know, you live out on those coasts, East or West Coast, man. The cost of living is triple, quadruple what it is out here. So you just won't get as much bang for your buck, man. But Kansas City's a great town. Got great food, man. They got some great sports teams, so I love it.
You played with Andy Reid, obviously, here. And how much – I talked to Craig Stout at the Senior Bowl a little bit ago, and he was talking to a lot of those prospects. And some of the prospects, defensive back prospects, said, I hope the Chiefs draft me because I want to learn from the Honey Badger.
Yeah.
Like Thornhill, he used to watch Honey Badger film.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I want to go play for Pat Mahomes. I want to go play with Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill and all this. I mean, like the Chiefs have become –
place
that team,
be.
You probably wish you were 5 years younger.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I do. And honestly, man, they look like they're having fun. Andy's having fun. You're winning. It's always fun when you're winning, eh? But when you got a good group of guys, man, that really enjoys playing with each other, man, a brotherhood, and you look over and you could, you know this guy's going to give it his all. You know you're doing your job. It's an exciting place to be. Plus, when you have the best quarterback in the league, it's kind of a cheat code, man, because Pat bails us out from time to time, and it's always exciting to watch.
Yeah, now the defense stepping up and doing their own thing. And, you know, one guy I wanted to ask you about, and I've always said, for some reason I got a tweet after the game, doing postgame, somebody says, at three guys in the garage, what are you saying about Sammy Watkins now? I said, wrong guy. Wrong guy.
Right.
I've said that Sammy does this. You pay him. Like Brett Veach made one of some of the best comments to Adam Teicher, who covers the Chiefs for ESPN, and he had said something like, you know, oftentimes you have to forecast, what are you going to do in the postseason? Right. Like Sammy will step up in the biggest moments. Yeah. You know what? Sammy's got 19 catches, 366 yards, and a touchdown in the postseason for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
That's almost five catches a game, 91.5 yards a game. Yeah, he's making a lot of money.
Right.
This Sammy has the ability to step up. And nowadays he's a great blocker. He didn't get enough credit for the blocker he is. But oftentimes you do pay for this production, but you would take this any day.
Well, it's the pressure spots as well. You know, he's a veteran, so he understands when it's time to step up. And when the pressure builds, sometimes for those young guys, it's difficult to really focus. You see the drops increase. Some of these things, you know, 11 had a little issue with drops.
Yeah, Marcus been dropping them.
You know, so when you can go to your bench and pull off a guy that makes good money, but he's a professional. He's going to be in the right place. He can sense that urgency. You see him have games like this and the consistency that he's having. This is what they paid for, man. You're all in when you got a guy like Pat Mahomes. You have to have the weapons, especially late in the year, man. And the Chiefs are looking like – they're looking brilliant right now. They're looking like geniuses.
Yeah, Brett Veach, like everything he did is turning out. Like Frank Clark, the Honey Badger, you drafted Thornhill. Like, I'm not sure they draft Thornhill because they had wanted to sign both the Honey Badger and Earl Thomas.
Okay, wow.
I had asked Tres Paylor from Yahoo. He used to cover the Chiefs when you played.
Yeah.
Tres from the Star.
Oh, yeah, I know Tres Paylor.
He works for Yahoo now as a national football writer.
Nice.
And he had said, because he came in and did a draft special with me, and he said, no, they were going to take Earl Thomas, because Earl Thomas could be on a plane here.
Right.
And then the Ravens snuck. And that's why I always didn't – that's why when the Ravens fans were crying about Terrell Suggs, I was like, wait a minute. You let him go.
Right, right.
You let him walk.
Should have never.
All right, you let him walk, first of all. And secondly, you stole Earl Thomas from the Chiefs.
Was he on the plane?
Which, yeah, he was. He thought he was coming to Kansas City.
Oh, wow.
He was going to be Earl Thomas and the Honey Badger.
Wow.
So you might not have had one Thornhill. But, again, you got to think window.
Yeah.
You know, would they win a ring with Earl Thomas? You know, he could have been a big part of this. Obviously, Thornhill got hurt, so it's not even a discussion because Dirty Dan stepped in.
Dirty Dan, man. And I think it actually worked out for the Chiefs, man, because they ended up with Terrell Suggs. They needed an extra pressure guy off the edge, man. They needed some experience. The Honey Badger looks like two guys back there, so he's got the back end covered. He's man, playing
feel,
at a high level.
I feel bad for Ogbah and Okafor because they were brought in here, especially Ogbah, too, because I always liked Emmanuel Ogbah. But he was doing great against the run. I think Pro Football Focus had him number one in the AFC West. Wow. Okafor. But, man, you know, it sucks that they got hurt. I mean, they've lost three defensive ends this year.
Quickly, man. They all went down together, too.
Yeah, they go down, and then Terrell Suggs comes in here and has been a difference for this defense. What do you think? The funny thing about the Super Bowl is the 49ers actually average a little more points than the Chiefs. They had like 479, and the Chiefs had 451. People don't think that, though.
Yeah.
Because you think perception that the Niners' defense is better. Well, they're number two defense in the NFL, but the Chiefs have allowed fewer points. Then the 49ers are 7th in points against. Niners are 8th in points against.
Okay.
And the Chiefs showed they can stop the run now.
Yeah, yeah.
I personally think it spells bad things for the 49ers.
I think it's going to be tough, man. I think that the Honey Badger on the back end, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's a good game manager.
He passes, Desmond.
He's a good game manager. I don't believe in him. He's not a Pat Mahomes. I don't think he's going to go out there and win a game with a throw. I don't think he's going to make a magical play that could bring them back. But he manages at a very high level. He's making all the throws, and he's doing what he has to, man. I like them. Their defense is very, very tough. They have their own smart guy on the back end, just as we were talking in the timeout. They got Sherman, man. This guy is a wizard. He knows what's coming. He's prepared. I think we're going to have a really special game. I think this will be one instant classic because we got two great defenses, two great offenses, and two great coaches.
I think Richard Sherman – on one end, Honey Badger get a lot of run. I think Kittle versus Kelce.
Oh, man.
I think people are looking forward
to that. That's a matchup I really love, man. Yeah. Kittle's an Iowa guy. I love him.
Yeah, I do too. But, you know, Kelce's right there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be the battle they're talking about. I just can't believe we're going to be talking about the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, man.
I mean, what are you doing for the Super Bowl? You get your wings ordered yet?
Oh, man, I'm going to eat, man. I'm going to have a few Diet Mountain Dews. But outside of that, man, I'm going to watch the game, be close. I don't think I'm going to get down there to Miami, so I'm going to have a good view. I'm excited for it, man.
I am too. So you like the real estate business, or do you want to go into scouting? You said that you may have an opportunity to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I still love football. I really love to talk about the game, man. I love to get into broadcasting. My little baby sister.
I can tell you do.
Yeah, it's my little baby sister just graduated from UMD. She got a broadcasting.
Where's she at?
University of Maryland. That's where she graduated.
Oh, she's broadcasting down there?
Yeah, she just got finished, so she's looking for jobs now. She calls some games in the Big Ten, man. So it's kind of in the family blood. We loved sports, man. We watched all three growing up. My pops was a fanatic. So it's just in our bloodline.
What do you like besides football?
Basketball. Oh, I'm a basketball fan. Oh, baseball. Yeah? Baseball is my best sport growing up, man. Believe it or not, baseball is my best sport.
That's the way it is, man. Danon was a great baseball player.
Wasn't as many people at the game, man. I saw a lot of
girls. I don't know if you ever talked ball with Danon, but Danon played baseball.
Did he?
He covers Iowa Hawkeyes baseball at the Big Ten Network.
You know what? We did talk about that. Yeah. I mean, they got a good team, too, man. We grew up playing, you know, I guess I'm in the older generation now. I'm 31. I'm like, back in the day. Back in the day, man, we played every single sport. We were seasonal athletes.
He's a Tide Pod Eater generation.
I'm only 23. Come on now.
He's millennial.
Young guy, yeah. You got to take his name, so you got to keep him on his toes. But we grew up playing all the sports, man, so I love baseball, man. I love basketball.
That's cool. There was an article I saw on Mahomes today that they were talking about the fact that he played so many sports.
Yeah.
Football. Like, a lot of times they want that. Gary Pinkel. The former coach of Missouri that he joins me all the time during college football season. He didn't mind his quarterbacks playing other sports, didn't mind his players playing other sports, but quarterbacks, he liked them to concentrate on quarterbacking.
You know what? I had an opportunity to play basketball at Tulane. My football head coach was not having it.
Really?
He said, you're here for football. Coach Toledo, man. Shout out to Bob Toledo, but he was not having me.
Well, you played forward or guard?
No, I was a guard, man. Yeah, I was 1-2 guard, kind of just a bigger guard. I played AAU growing up, man. I got to play against Gerald Henderson.
Did you think you'd want two sports, man?
Yeah, that would have been fun, man. It would probably have upped my draft stock a little bit, if nonetheless.
Oh, yeah, last but not least, I got to get your opinion.
Yeah.
Driving boats for the draft picks in Vegas, man. There's nothing more Vegas than Bellagio fountains and boats, man. I think you're doing too much.
Well, that's a heck of a gamble.
Doing too much.
No pun intended, but, you know, they're bringing these guys out on boats, man. It just seems like a lot of things
could go
wrong.
Man, if I was the first pick, man, or second, I wouldn't be riding a boat, man. Hey, listen, I love boats a lot.
Yeah.
But stepping off of them onto a dock, man, that's just...
Someone's going to fall in the water. You already know.
Especially when your knees are about to give out because you're about to get all this cash, man.
Right. It's an emotional
moment. Roger Goodell's up there waiting for a hug, and you're like on this boat. Come on, man.
You accidentally pull Roger Goodell in.
Somebody will.
That's when they'll stop it all. That's when they'll stop the show. It'll be on dry land after that.
Good stuff. Desmond, thanks for coming in. Always appreciate your input, and appreciate it, man.
Thank you for having me, as always.
There you go. Coming up next, though, I want to talk about some of the things Desmond talked about. We'll do that in this defense next.
Bing at night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.